Terniek. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Otto.
Stephen, we are doing a series of recordings on what you're doing with your research.
Yes.
On your website, you already have a series of recordings explaining how you came to it, what you've been looking at, why, and what you're finding. And since you've said it would be nice to present the concept of genomics, and today...
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. So I'd like to ask
Yes.
you to tell a lot more about what is genomics, and perhaps
Yes.
there again start with how did you come to look in that direction? What are you finding, and how others might be able to use that? Genomics,
Yes.
how did you come up
Yes.
with that concept?
I think that at very early age, so maybe when I was younger, I thought, okay, who owns what? Who owns the garage? Who owns this? Who owns it? To whom belongs this earth? And okay, then you go outside, you take a walk, and you say, okay, this peasant is living here. Is his land? Or you have to rent something. So it's something like an experience you make. Land is already distributed. So it only remains labor.
Mm-hmm.
In labor, and it remains only capital. So you have only two other factors to that you can add. You have land.
Yes.
And then you have maybe people work the land, who can do something with the land, and you have let us call it an infrastructure, technical facilities that are being developed for other purposes, tools for production. And I came to genomics with a critique even of Marxism. So Marxism was a very strong, I would call it, architecture. Marx said, okay, just get away with the landlords. We privatize it, and that's it. So we don't need the people; they don't have to own land, and then we make the production and the workers decide. But as everybody saw in Eastern Europe, it doesn't work that way. They have killed people who owned land. Some people were able to leave to abroad, but productivity did not in this way grow. It just doesn't grow. It grew only in the 70s, even in the Soviet Union, it only grew in the 70s when trade moved on and exchange moved on, and so there was more exchange between the systems. In Hungary, it was a little bit stronger, tried to privatize even the smaller businesses, and people could do something. So the most important is that land is and natural resources are the factors, factor number one. It is owned by somebody. And Henry George came up, an American worker, I would call him, was a printer. He went from the west side to the east side, and he is a representative of the American dream. But he saw this dream is gaining some finish. There's a frontier is moving here. The land is being fenced in, and Henry George came up with a new theory, and this theory can be called genomics. So genomics says that, okay, you own the land, but you have a responsibility how you deal with that property. And if you own the land, you pay taxes. You pay taxes for it, and that's it. We don't confiscate. We don't need confiscation. We don't want to confiscation is not necessary. The second point is that, of course, labor won't be taxed in such a system so much. Labor would be not eased, not freed from taxation, but it will be eased from taxation. And of course, all these other gains, that are on money, capital, interest would be more taxed. So you have a different economic system. You have a system where people can work, they can decide to be in associations, they can cooperate, but you don't have that system that we have now, a centralized body of information. Frankfurt, at this time in Europe, Brussels, Frankfurt, Berlin, and you decide what is happening in Greece. And it's not very intelligent.
Can I ask you to go back a bit in helping me understand what you're getting into? Because Henry George has a different proposition about the ownership of land, collaboration and taxation.
Yes.
And, it would be helpful if you could spell out all of them. So what is his position on the ownership of land?
I would say that you can own the land, but you are only entitled to your, the earnings of your own work. So it does mean that you are not entitled to any other thing. What comes afterwards, you have to pay as taxes to the general public. So this does mean that a state will collect, of course, the taxes, and then, of course, somebody could ask, can we have a good administration to deal with that thing? But it is about you are entitled to your own earnings, to your own labor.
Yes. Could I compare that to the old concept of stewardship? That in that sense, you're not the owner of the land, but the caretaker of the land.
Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi.
Mm-hmm. And that whatever you produce, you can keep what you need for yourself, and you give away what others can use.
Exactly. And it does not impede capital development, because capital, infrastructures, technical facilities can also be managed differently. It doesn't have to have such a, I would call it, can be owned in public, under public observation. Everybody can see this is an electrification line. We see it's there. That's it. That's ours. You know, it's, we can see it. Or we have. So the main important thing is that people cannot exploit the natural resources and put it into their own pockets.
Yeah,
this is the main thing.
Can you explain the next level of that? Because if everybody is steward of the land, and they can produce for their own needs, then it also means that overproduction can be shared or traded with others. And at that level of sharing with others or trading with others, how is that in the view of this approach of Henry George?
You know, Henry George was living, there's a difference between our system today. We have a paper monetary system, a fiat monetary system.
Yeah.
And in Henry George's age, you have to look back, and you see in America also the gold standard was, or some silver, bimetallism. So he had some very different type of monetary system.
Yeah.
So therefore, the main, if you want to ensure geonomics, which does mean that people can own the fruits of their own labor, then therefore you need some monetary system that puts a brake on speculation. Where I live here.
Yeah.
It's a little road only. It's only 800 meters. And every 200 meters there's an old house. It's been broken down. People come every day taking photos, and they try to get speculation over the land. And where there was a little house, when old lady maybe lived, there are being now constructed new houses with 16 fractions. And these guys, they will pay a lot of money for the house. And so what Henry George exactly said, okay, you can build the house if you like, but the land you won't buy. The main important factor of this is you can even be an entrepreneur, you can build the house, but the land won't be in your hand. So you have to understand that the building, the value of a building is not the same as the value of the land which is built on.
Yes, and that's a clean shift away from monopoly at many levels. The world that we live in has monopoly at many levels.
Yes.
The state basically claims monopoly of the land. As a result, the state claims a monopoly of money. And that leads to the taxation system.
Yeah.
And so in the approach for, of Henry George, which you then elaborate as geonomics in a more specific direction.
I'm not the only one. There's also a guy in Oregon. There are many people who are working on that. There's Martin Adams. You have Martin Adams from the Progress Organization. You have Jeffrey Smith from Oregon, from the Geonomist Foundation. There's even a foundation for that thing. It's a 501c3, you know, from after American law. So you have a lot of people who work on that. Even in Germany, you have the Stiftung für Boden- und Geldreform. Even in Germany, you have something like that.
Okay, so there's a group of people who are now working worldwide on these ideas of George Henry and of geonomics.
Yes.
And what is the first approach that they work with now? What is the first approach that you're working with now?
I think that the most important is really to make the banking reform. So what is absolutely necessary is to not allow banks to hold land as collateral value. That's the first step. Because if you look at banking assets, then the mm-hmm. most assets are in terms of land, not property. I'm not talking about real estate, about houses, not about bricks and mortar. And the most important is not to allow banks to hold land, because the banks are doing the business only by holding the land value. 80% of all banking transactions are from land value.
Let me put it differently, because it is about the perspective of view and people acting on their views. And so the banking industry basically starts with, let's call it the Roman or the Egyptian claim of ownership of the land.
Of course.
And in part the Roman philosophy and the Roman church philosophy also then includes the ownership of people. The tiara of the Pope basically
the
claims an ownership of the land, an ownership of all living beings,
harvesting
and ownership of their soul. And so in a way, let's call it religious freedom. There are people who choose to believe that and act on those beliefs, and as a result they put a claim of land and fix a value of money on the land. In Henry George's approach, you do not do that. In geonomics, the land is not owned, so that would mean that you can provide a different system of banking, operating a different system of values, which is not necessarily money, because as you said before,
must not be money. As
people can use barter.
Yes, it will change. Of course, it must not be money. As this time we have the we have 5,000 years of tradition with the money. It started in, as you know it, in Sumeria. You said to me that very rightly that money is something energy. It's something that symbolized energy. It exchanged energy in motion. It's right. But the most important is the basic thought to understand that the banking system works on something. You know, you have, as you see that in mind, you can see that at Go Conquer, at this mind map that I developed, you can see the circle and you can play it down. You immediately see the circuit of privileges and monopolies. You can immediately see how it moves. It's a feedback system, and the main important is natural resources are being exploited by a few people.
Yeah, if I put it in an inverse sense, if you look at how the banks now are banking with money on monopolizing land.
Yes.
But in geonomics, essentially what you say is that human values are the essence.
Yes.
And it is the adding of value which is then what you can bank on. Would this be helpful if you could phrase if there is a possibility to set up banking according to that system in Geonomics?
Yes, of course. The Geonomics system would be 100%. Maybe it would maybe a narrow reserve banking system, but it would have almost 100% reserves. So the main you can only put a brake on the thing if you slow down the transactions. If somebody takes a credit from XY and then it immediately starts paying without having any coverage of nothing, this is not a normal thing.
Yeah.
You know, today you can go into emails and you get emails, you and me, I can give you the credit and you can go on. The guy has some license and he gives you a credit. So, and you spend something you never worked for. This cannot be the future. People are using resources they've never worked for something.
Yes.
So it's and electronics and the Skype and all these things that, can help us, of course, to save resources. But the other way around is not good. And the other way around is feudalism, like what is in feudalism. You had the landlords, now you have the bank lords. That is not the way out. And as you said many times, it's a parasitic type of strata.
Yeah.
They use big knowledge and they are maybe trained in physics and all these things, but it's basing two things are not working. It's not working in rational terms and it doesn't work in moral terms. So both terms are not working, and this is why it is endangering human survival on this globe.
Yeah.
It is endangering the survival of mankind, and this is why we have to amend the problem.
Let me give an example of something which it's now the year 2015. It's now the month of July. The people are aware that, let's call it the province of Greece in the European system, is having some difficulties with the monetary balancing.
Right.
If you look at it on a background, and I think of this work of... the economic hitman, where you can see that the monetary fund basically offers money to countries and then they might give something in return. And in fact, in that system, many countries have been profiting off Greece and off the other new countries in Europe immensely. But if you look at it the other way around, then you would not start with offering money, but by asking what are these people producing or what are these people providing.
Yes.
And then going into that in a trade and say, well, this is wonderful that you produce that. It is great that you provide that. So, for instance, in Greece, that would be the shipping services and it would be the tourism hospitalities. And then you have an immediate payment for already existing values.
Right.
So, in what you say about Geonomics, it seems to be very close to that, that you actually work with what is really offered and what is really provided.
Yes, it. Of course, the accounting system will change too, and there are also a lot of people working on that. One guy is Ed Dodson. He's was an accountant, so he doesn't need our instructions. And it's also concerned about land value. So we'll have, of course, a different accounting system, an accounting system for optimal resource distribution.
Can you say some more about that? Because it's very good to realize that banking is essentially not what we are dealing with on the planet anyhow, but that we are accounting for how people support each other and how people interact with each other.
And therefore, you will get. It is even possible in basic income will be, of course, in such a system, some basic income will be guaranteed. So, some basic social security, some basic medical security will be guaranteed. That's for sure. On a very basic level, of course, other things you have to do for your own. Of course, you're a private person, and you have to look for yourself too. Not only for others, But the main problem what we have today is the exploitation of the, I would call it, the public resources. So the public resources are being converted into private resources, and we have to stop that. And Tsipras Varoufakis, okay, is one guy, very good trained man, but only an academic. And Tsipras too, only from this socialist trade union. So very different cultures, as Varoufakis was from an academic culture.
Mm-hmm.
Very mathematical guy, at Cambridge guy, and Tsipras is from this, I would call it, communist socialist milieus. So very contrary. In fact, from outside you look, it was one fraction. It wasn't one fraction. Very different milieus, and you cannot. I think that the main mistake happened in the 80s when they thought they can bring Europe in one level. There was the last guy who understood it was Delors, Jacques Delors, Travitès. We have the three velocities in Europe, and then it came to something that I would call a central plan. And the central plan of Maastricht. And this is the contrary to genomics. So what is happening in Europe is contrary to genomics. It is on reinforcement of private property about natural resources. Labor is being taxed to death. And then you go into other things like capital. The people earn interest on capital, they flee from the thing. By good advice, they flee to the borders, and that's it. They go to Switzerland, and that's it.
Yeah.
So let me have a very bad trend.
Yeah. Let me bring us back to what I brought up earlier, that it is essentially about the beliefs that people operate. When you mentioned that the origin of the EU, the European Union, essentially that originated from a business transaction at the level of the coal and steel industries.
Yes.
Coal and steel at that level is equivalent to the weapons industry.
Yes.
So then the EU was not based on rationality and morality, the two principles that you presented before, but it was basically about domination and monopolization, which is what the war industry stands for.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
so
it is a continuation of the European tragedy.
And so you say, well, in genomics, it is possible to remedy that. To put the balance in.
Again, it's not the same what the communists did or anybody. They shot people, and I have enough witnesses. Even my grandfather was a witness of that. That they shot the landlords, and this is not the way out, because these people also had knowledge how to deal with the land. So, but you tax them, and you tax them heavily, and then you have a first income. So, for a public. A state, for a public structure called state, and of course you have also laborers. Also, of course, have to pay some taxes, but they won't be so heavy. And of course, who gains interest from capital also has to. But this would be more who gains interest from capital. Of course, interest will exist further. No illusion about that. As long as money exists. In such a genomic system, interest will exist to a level of 5%.
Yeah.
About 5% is possible. This would be the normal rate of, I would call it money. Also can decease, and you can lose it. And so you have to give the guys from 5% that, but that's enough to survive.
Yeah. One of the difficulties with taxation is that it burdens the system. And if you look at it the other way around, in the money system, you can see that interest is being charged for the use of money. And when you look at the origin of that, You can see that farmers had seeds which they would give to the other farmer. And as a result of planting one seed, you generally get 10, 10%. 50 or 100 more 10% back.
10% was in Hungary.
Yeah, let me just skip all of that for the moment. Because there is this large difference between what happens when you put seed in the earth. One grain will produce many grains.
Yes.
But then the banking system did as if the same holds for money. And of course, if you plant a coin in the soil, it will not produce more coins.
That's
so
right.
So the notion of interest put on money is very different from sharing the abundance which comes out of natural multiplication.
Yes. Interest can only compensate for loss of purchasing power. So if you make a credit, if anybody likes to take a credit, you can only compensate for the loss of purchasing power. That's it.
Which essentially means that the banking industry, which is also the insurance industry and the other way around, are essentially one principle based on an erroneous philosophy.
Yes,
which is that of natural abundance. In the money system, there is no natural abundance.
These sectors are killing human progress.
Yeah. So how does that work in geonomics? I have the impression that we are now at the exploration of what geonomics is. But I also am aware that in what you're bringing up now, it will be very helpful to do a translation from the society that we know now and the society as it can be understood in geonomics.
The main fact is that the systems evolution cannot be forced. This was systems evolution can never be forced. This was Lenin and all these people maybe thought that, or Hitler and all these people. Systems evolution cannot be forced. It's only maybe possible what Engels said, that you try to gain insight into construction principles. Engel was more a philosopher, so he was closer to the reality of production. Marx was the son of a lawyer. Friedrich Engels was the son of an entrepreneur. They built houses for the workers and they made their children. Look at where they have been living, Wuppertal, in the Bruch in Wuppertal, and you look there. They did something also good for the working people. You cannot say they didn't only make bad things. But Engels, okay, was well out of his time.
Maybe it's good to make a distinction, because I'd like to introduce this concept of alchemy here. Which is the level of there is a very large difference between what happens when you work with the material stuff, or when you work with processes, or when you work with transformations or interactions, or when you work with creations.
Right.
If you work with material stuff, then there is the action causes a reaction, which is what a lot of people believe in, which has been applied to economic system as well. But as the moment that you go to the processes, you don't have the action gives the reaction, but you get the chemical equation of the action and the reaction have a balancing sign between. When you go one level deeper, you go to the level of transformation, you cannot even say that there is a balance between the action and the reaction, because the context will determine what happens as well. And at the level of creation, you actually have to create the context, the balance, and the process results. And so it's only by making that distinction between those four levels that you can see why economics of the material level, or the economics of the processes, or the economics of the transformation, or the economics of the creations are so different.
Yes.
And how does the geonomics address that?
Yeah,
you already made very clear it is not the banking model, and it is not the monopoly model, it's not a possession model. It's a stewardship model.
Yes, it's a stewardship model. You can also cite Mahatma Gandhi and people like that. But the main important is we don't abolish private wealth. Private wealth will remain.
Mm.
So we don't tell to you, come on, guy, give your house and that's it, and we'll even shoot you and all this, what happened in Russia and all with the Romanovs. This is not the topic. The topic is that as you earn private wealth and many of your income is derived from the natural resources, then you have to pay more taxes. You pay more taxes. On these taxes we can finance a public infrastructure. So it's something.
Yeah, and at that level you wouldn't even use the word taxation, but you would sharing the overproduction.
Yes, sharing the overproduction. And then, of course, about labor and now you come to the second level. Labor, of course, in such a system isn't that way. A market will exist, but people also can do their own things. So they don't have to wait for an announcement in an internet and somewhere says somebody, oh, I have this job for you. People can try to cooperate in groups for mm-hmm. production. They don't wait and they switch on the internet and say, okay, I can do this or this, and this job is there. People can cooperate. This is the main difference. So they can cooperate. They can do something. Of course, the market exists also for other types of labor. And if somebody wants to get a job, you will get it. And this will also be possible. And the third level is also important, that capital will exist. But capital as a technical resource, like natural resources, you have human resources, you have technical resources. Human resources is labor. Technical resources is capital. And you have the natural resources, land. So this will remain. But the payoff from the factors, the payoff from land, rent, will be shared in for the public. The rent will be for the public, and the wages, you will get wages higher than before. Of course you have to pay taxes, but what interest will of course also be taxed heavily if you make interest on capital. This will be taxed heavily. So you have I wouldn't call it a laborist model, but it is a model oriented at those people who are doing productive work, and not of those people who are owning a house or land or whatsoever, or of machinery. These people can live, they will live, but not maybe such on a high level than before. That is really the difference.
Yeah, what you're addressing here is something which is very fundamental and often ill understood. It is the relation between humans and humanity. Yes. Because now you're making very clear that in genomics it is the individual productivity, the individual creativity, which is the basis of it all. Yes. But in being productive, people help each other. In helping each other, they can produce more. In producing more, they will have abundance in what they have produced. Yes. And as a result, they can share that. I prefer the word sharing than taxation.
Yes, they will share it.
But you also bring up that this means that the functioning in groups, which empowers people, which increases the reward of productivity, is something which needs to be understood in its own right. And that is something which I'd like to point out, is what is not really being processed in society as we know it at present. Because at present we have psychological social entities called corporations or nations or religions, which are groups which are having a legal identity, but they don't have a real identity. So one of the fundamental confusions which presently exists is that corporations are treated as they are individuals, but they are not. They are irresponsible, they are not conscious, and they cannot take decisions. They do not have freedom of choice. In the old terminology, they do not have a soul. So in a way you're saying that in genomics the soul comes back into the groups, because it is based on the agreement of individuals being productive, deciding together what they're going to produce and how they're going to support each other.
Exactly. It is a free association in equality. Free association equality, and that's a big difference, not forced labor. It's not the thing that we know from today. So it's what we have today is something like a forced labor market. Nothing else. Most people you see here, wherever you go, they're doing some work. Some, of course, I know some even physicians, maybe they have got it, they got their own practice and at least can perform for their own. But the most people that I know are, I would call them forced laborers.
Yeah. But what you're implying also is that how people are now educated to work as workers in company, and the whole government education system religiously works towards that.
Yeah.
And it also means that in geonomics you would have a different kind of education, because in what you say, people will need to realize that they are individual creators. Yes. They will need to realize that they have their own responsibility in making reliable collaboration with others.
Yes.
They will need to have their own understanding of the sharing of profit, of overproduction. And they will have to have their own responsibility to see which people are helped best with the products that they have produced but they do not need for themselves. So how in geonomics is education being addressed?
If you look at this tetraionic theory from Kevin Abraham, we have an example. You know, it's I don't say that everything is perfect, but you have a good model for education. You have a tool, didactics. You have a good tool for didactics, so you can teach mathematics or physics in on a level that many people understand. I tried that out with many people who are not very knowledgeable about mathematics and physics, and they got interested in the things, and afterwards they understood more. So it's of course it would not work as a system Pavlov system. So education system would not work by the Pavlov reflex. You do something and then you get money. It is the system of the rat in the cage. The animal performs an action, hits pushes something or hits something and then it gets something to eat. Not that way. What we have done, what happened within the last, especially 50 years, is at first, of course, there was this economic progression, but we ended up in what I would call a rat race.
And that's what you're turning around, because as you mentioned very clearly, in current economics, people work for money, and in geonomics, people produce things and share that.
Yes,
it's basically an inverted picture. It's going back to the senses, because it is based on the direct interaction with Earth.
It's a difference if you rob value by monetary means or you produce value. It's absolutely different. So a physician can perform differently. Of course, he will be paid. That's not the and if there will be no money, then he will be paid in other terms. So he will receive his, how you call it, you can live from that somewhere. But the current system is different because you have always a loss of purchasing power. Purchasing power is lost, and the loss of purchasing power goes to the monopolies. That's very bad. And this is a systemic nature is not well thought out. That's the whole thing. For one state of society, it's good, of course.
Yeah, and in that way, you can say that education and government is advocating the promulgation of dependence.
Yes, of course.
While in geonomics, you go back to autonomy.
It is at least geonomics as an dependency of independence people. It's dependency, but dependency of independent peoples, and it's not this forced type of system that you have today. Today you have even the young people thinking in categories that makes them ill.
Yeah, and that's where I would like to point out that genomics is in fact, as you presented here, a recipe for a healing of society. Because if you look at dependence in medical terminology, that is considered to be a disease, while autonomy is always understood to be the basis of health.
Yes.
So when you look at genomics in that way, it moves people away from dependency and back towards autonomy, which means you go from disease to health.
Yes, self-empowerment is important, and self-reliance, self-regulation. Afterwards you lose even the fear.
Yes.
After some time, you know, of course, in the beginning, people of course get afraid what can happen and this will happen, but afterwards people are not more so much afraid because they have to take their own action. And the central planning is the worst. What happened in the last, especially after the border opening here in Bavaria, we had that. When my son went to school, the first years were very okay, and they came with the quota, the numerus clausus, and they screwed, and the last 20 years that I only saw the screwing of the educational system. They think we screw more, we put more inside the heads. This is not the way for quality education. You have, of course, young people have to learn how to be disciplined and to keep order and all the things. But by only appealing to their heads, what they call the... it's like a neurosis of the head, you know. They're getting neurosis even from that, you know. And that's too many ill people are producing ill people from that. And then you always have to... education is not, or is not economics. Education, we have three sectors. We had that in our last communication. We had, on one hand, we had the education, we had the economics, and we had ecology. Ecology, more health. Economics, we said, is something with production. And we had education and the feedback laws, the ethics. And education can never be targeted for a market. You can forget it. It has to do, education is exactly what in Latin means educere, to you take the hand of somebody and you get him out of a secure house and say, that's the road, my friend. I will go with you the next 500 meters and now you go on your own. That is education. Education has to do with making people work in real life.
Yes, and that's also John Gatto and many others have been looking at that difference between indoctrination and education.
Education
leading out the individual to be able to connect to the environment.
Exactly.
And indoctrination is charging them, taxing them with information which basically blocks their thinking process. If I look at the different topics which have already come up, we've been already seeing that we are dealing with genomics as a recipe for healing. It is also a different politics or policy
of
values.
It's not central. It's not. It's won't take from you nothing. So it actually it's had nothing to do with violence, also important thing. And of course, big armies won't also exist.
Genomics is also a different interpretation of property.
Yes.
So it's not material properties, but it is the properties of the individual that are pulled out in the understanding.
Yes.
And it is not about... materiality, about domination of Earth, but it's about creativity of the individual as a human on Earth.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned, to explore geonomics, we need a start point, which is basically the unfolding which we are acting on now. But from what has been unfolded already, I get the impression that it would be very practical if we could have a series of topics about geonomics.
We'll do that.
To make these ideas clear, and one of them is about the difference between property as material or as subjective. One of them is about economy, not in the term of banking, but in the sense of values. One is in terms of politics, which is not about indoctrination, but about appreciation. And also there is that part of identity, which came up in the concept of education, not as indoctrination, but as the
hard
appreciation of communication.
Also, hard work on your own also is, I think, what you have, what people really have to be confronted with life. And with the tasks of life, and to cope with life and with illness and all the things that are involved. So that's an important thing. And this is not a central planning agency. It is nothing like Moscow or Brussels. This is a very decentral form of life. There will be more alternative energies in the long run. Things like atom energy are not very welcome, that's for sure. And the use of natural resources, of course, will be, but it we will a little bit more, we save the resources, we save the resources. Banking will be there, but only for the prudent guys who have a good bank, who invest in future trends. And not those guys, the robber barons, are no more in function. And so a lot of things, but this is not heroic, very pragmatic, very practical.
Well, yes, what like we're dealing with is like a surgery. Shift in belief system.
Yes, it's like surgery.
Yeah,
very good surgery.
As we can see now, the present situation that we have is a result of, say, 2,000 years of banking on a specific religion, which people now religiously believe in and live by. But then the religion which people use in its origin says that it all comes back to your own values and valuing your own values on, as those of others.
That's the most important.
So what you're trying to present in geonomics is a shift of perspective and a change of realization away from, let's call it the conditioned hypnosis, back to the exploration of individual realization. I look forward to the ways in which we can then present that view, because evidently it will be something that people will need to realize for themselves. Because that is the opposite of having to be told that that is something that you have to believe and that you have to live by.
Yes, exactly. No, there will be nothing like what you call this brainwash. You don't need brainwash, you use your own brains. This will be the difference. And by your own, of course, talents, you know, you cannot, you can try to think, I am a good violinist, or this or that. You have to, you try, and after maybe an hour, you know, you maybe are not such a good violinist. So the system forces people. I know so many people who force their children to do something, to play the piano, or to do these terrible trainings in violin, and they had such big fingers, and they had to grab these special melodies. So it a torture. It must have been a torture for the children. In my opinion, and this is if you want it, then you really, it comes from inside, it's your talent, and this geonomic system is not a dream system. It's I said, it's very pragmatic, very practical, and it puts a lot of responsibility on individuals, on groups.
This seems to be the whole key of geonomics. It also seems to be connected to let's call it human gnosis.
Yes.
It connects the economics of thinking in terms of Earth with the appreciation of the roles of humans in humanity.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned before we started, you have a limited time for today to unfold this story. So maybe this is a good time to round off this first exploration and the first introduction to the ideas of geonomics. I'm well aware that in the course of the story we had to sort of grope around a bit to get the ideas in place. But what we have achieved now is that, if I can summarize it for myself, geonomics is an approach which was created by the thinking of Henry George, an American who was looking at the practicality of things, also looking for a solution of the banking by money and the monopolization of everything that exists.
Right.
In the course of the conversation, it became clear that what he has presented has been taken up by a group of people who are now actively pursuing this approach.
Yes.
The approach in itself has solutions for banking, it has solutions for economy, it has solutions for politics, it has solutions for healthcare.
Yes.
And as a conclusion out of this first exploration, I would say it would be very helpful to do separate discussions about all these topics that came up.
Yes, very good. You have summarized it perfectly. And of course, George took also his inspirations from other sources. Of course, he had some biblical inspirations, as all of us, we have some sources and traditions. But of course, this was from a person who was only a printer. It is an unbelievable work, and this is I think for many people who are also not academics, and a great inspiration for many people who like to live freer lives, more freer lives and better lives.
In a way, the Sufis always say that people have a job, but they are a being, and we should not measure them by the job, but by what they live. And that's also what you're doing, how you're carefully presenting the idea that we should not look at the job that people have, but the life that they live.
Yes.
And this is something that we can explore in the further conversations, the sequels on geonomics.
Yes, I have
said. Would this be a good point to round off this interview recording? If so, then I'd like to ask you to give a one sentence summary of the purpose of geonomics, if you would be willing to do so.
Of course I'm willing to do. It's a pleasure. I think that geonomics as a system can reduce human suffering. So it's able to reduce human suffering, and of course this is more in material means. So the first step is, of course, the material means, that we reduce the suffering from material unnecessary material stress. But the second step will be, of course, people will also spiritually be happier. This will be will follow from that, because they won't have this burden of this bodily stress that they encounter all day and every day. So the first step is, of course, a material step. The second will be, of course, a spiritual elevation. This will follow automatically.
Thank you very much for bringing this all together.
Me too. I also thank you very much, Otto.